Let's start with something that everyone can pretty much agree on, that in Novak Djokovic's last two defeats to Jannik Sinner at the Australian Open and to Luca Nardi at Indian Wells, he has played nowhere near his usual level. And arguably, even outside of those two particular matches, there have been some reasons for concern about Novak's tennis. Now, what's harder to agree on is what that actually means for the rest of 2024 and beyond. Should we conclude from what we've seen so far that Novak Djokovic is in decline, that Father Time has finally started to run its natural course? Before I talk about what I think of this question, let's cover a few ways that you can lose the forest for the trees when trying to evaluate this, because you can do it on both ends of the spectrum. The first way is denying the reality that at some point, Djokovic will be in decline, and this will almost definitely happen before he retires. The second way to lose the plot is to demonstrate zero understanding of sample size and context and coming to rash conclusions without really taking those two things into consideration. I like to think that I can fall somewhere in between, and I also like to think that falling somewhere in between gives me the best possible chance of answering this question correctly. At the end of this video, I'm going to tell you at what point I think we'll know the answer to the question that I will make the title of this video, is Novak Djokovic in decline? Because that point, the point in which we can answer that, is not right now. So let's talk about it, sample size and context, and we'll begin with the Australian Open. The loss to Sinner in the semifinal was his first bad loss at a major since 2018. His second loss of any kind in the last six slams. He is coming off of a three-major season and a year-end number one. You won't find a single data scientist on the planet who could look at that and see a downward trend there. It just doesn't exist. Context? He was sick throughout the tournament, and while his level was improving up until the semifinal, and that led many, including me, to kind of cast aside any concerns about illness heading into the match, it is still really unclear if he ever got over the illness or if he had some sort of relapse of the illness, as some reports out of Serbia suggested. Indian Wells. Now, from a sample size perspective, this is a significant development. Two bad losses, two poor showings is a lot more, especially consecutively, than one bad showing. It literally doubled. That is significant. Here's where context does much more of the heavy lifting, because in reality, when it comes to the Australian Open, I think sample size does a lot more of the heavy lifting than context. The illness thing is kind of mysterious and a little bit theoretical, but this is not. This is a fact, what I'm about to say. It's March. It's March. And that is the only context that I need to de-emphasize the importance of what we saw from Novak Djokovic at Indian Wells. Novak hasn't been to the semifinals of Indian Wells, Miami, or Monte Carlo since 2016. I have been saying for years, and followers of the channel will know that this is true, that I don't think Novak can get himself up at this time of the year anymore. And while in the last couple years, due to COVID vaccination restrictions in the US, Djokovic hasn't played the Sunshine Double, time and time again, I have predicted Novak to get upset at Monte Carlo. And I've said over and over again that it's just too far away from Roland Garros. And you can't have confidence that Novak is going to be in a physical or mental state anywhere near his peak coming off of the Australian Open, months away from Roland Garros. He has said that the majors are his motivational North Star and that physically and mentally, his energy is dedicated to peaking for those 8 weeks. March, it's just not his time of year anymore. And his Miami withdrawal statement only has me more convinced that it's the motivation factor that probably did him in more than anything at Indian Wells. At this stage of my career, I'm balancing my private and professional schedule. I'm sorry that I won't experience some of the best and most passionate fans in the world. I'm looking forward to competing in Miami in the future. I'm going to repeat one sentence here. At this stage of my career, I'm balancing my private and professional schedule. How do you read that? Because the way I read that is, I am so old and so accomplished that I simply can't bring myself to be motivated to play this year's Miami Open when I have a fruitful life outside of tennis that I would really rather tend to right now. And just tap me on the shoulder when it is time to begin my Roland Garros preparation, because that is when I will get back to the grind. For balance, I will admit that I didn't quite expect Djokovic to be, let's say, a shell of himself for this year's Sunshine Double. I thought that the fact that he got to Los Angeles as early as he did was a good sign. I thought perhaps the loss to Sinner at the Australian Open would maybe light that motivational fire. And I felt that perhaps the fact that he hadn't played it in several years would give him that extra spark, a little bit of a boost to be better than he has been in past years over the course of the Sunshine Swing. So I was wrong about that. But broadly speaking, the day that I jumped to conclusions about Novak Djokovic's long-term prospects based on what he does in March and the first couple weeks of April is the day I turn in my tennis analyst card. It just isn't smart to do. It could have fooled you in 2018. It could have fooled you in 2019. And as far as his Monte Carlo performances are concerned, it could have fooled you the last couple of years. That's for sure, right? Don't do it. Don't read into it. When Djokovic says, "I peak for the slams," believe him. All of this is to say that we don't know yet. I fully acknowledge the possibility at 36 years old that Djokovic has lost something, either physically or mentally, that will wind up being permanent, that will mark the end of his status as the cream of the crop in men's tennis. But it's impossible to tell right now. When will we know? It won't take that long. I would say after Roland Garros, probably. I still think that clay court conditions, based on his current style of tennis, is his most difficult surface to succeed on. I still feel that way. But I think based on his performance at Roland Garros, regardless of if he wins it or not, I think we'll have a pretty good idea of if Djokovic is still in a position to compete for majors moving forward. After Roland Garros, probably. After Wimbledon, sure, definitely. I think we'll really have a good idea of what the answer is to the question that is the title of this video: is Novak Djokovic in decline? There tends to be a race to be the first person to call it, and it backfires all the time. I'm talking about members of the media. I'm talking about random people in comment sections. You want to be the first to be like, "That's it. This person is cooked. They're finished." And we saw it with Nadal and Federer in 2016. We saw it with Djokovic in 2018. God knows we saw it with Tom Brady and LeBron James and Peyton Manning as they drifted into their mid-30s. Any modern ageless wonder who happens to have a bad patch is immediately met with sensationalistic takes that, well, 1 + 1 equals done. You're old, you struggled for a second, so you're done. And look, if you declare them done over and over and over again, eventually you're going to be correct. But if you want to be correct the first time, you're much better off waiting for way better evidence than what it is we currently have in regards to Novak Djokovic. Hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you next time.